141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we head into a busy midweek across Scottish football. The search for a new Rangers CEO and Director of Football is on after the sacking of Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell. Celtic's move for Wilfred Nancy appears to be getting even closer, and a big night of football across the divisions with Motherwell against Hibs in the top flight and Partick Thistle taking on Dunfermline. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL.
Yeah, after another exciting weekend of football, Gordon, the league table changing once again. You look at yesterday's news coming out of Ibrox. I didn't think a lot of people at that time seen it coming. I think a lot of Rangers fans are delighted with the news, and it's just a case of who moves into the hot seat now. And then you look at football tonight, cutly massive games.
I was going to get on him right from the start there, because did you know that the league table didn't change at all this weekend?
I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about the championship.
It was one of the only times, though. Genuinely, right? Because what are the chances? What are the chances that you just throw out that generalisation, and I just happen to notice? No one moved.
I've not even had a chance to look.
Do you know what you could have said, Gordon? Point. The points changed.
Points. That's correct. What good. I meant. That's what good. I meant, Mark.
The top six all played the bottom six, and nothing really changed.
Do you know something? You get picked up for the points. Four,
2 minutes in.
Yep.
I knew what you meant.
Anyway, school teacher over there.
Forget all that. Has Davey phoned Willie? Has Willie phoned Davey? Have you been involved? Three-way call. FaceTime.
Yeah.
Teams.
The club spoke to Willie and Martin yesterday. I think Chipper, John Ward, and the chairman Calvin. The owner Calvin spoke to them just to see basically, you know, what they were kind of thinking, and it just, you know, came up with an honest mistake, as we all know, looking back at it, and I suppose that's a line in the sand now. We just have to move on.
Why are you not involved? You've got a lot to say for yourself. Yeah. Why didn't you dial in?
I said all I had to say on Sunday's show, though, and then I left it at that. And yesterday I was actually busy. You're talking about the championship and the massive game, and I was playing a paddle with Lenny yesterday.
For his paces. I helped.
Yeah, do you know who came on after?
I should say this. Watch this.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure we should say that.
All right, okay.
Can we speak about the break?
High-profile Scottish Premiership player.
Yeah.
At the top end of the league. Yeah,
yeah.
Because
yeah, sure
I had eyes on you.
Did you?
Someone texted me to say they saw you playing paddle with Lenny last night, and ex-player came on after. There you go.
Yeah. Did you win?
No.
You meeting Lenny beat you at paddle?
Oh, it's doubles. So my partner let me down.
Lenny self, him. Beat you and your partner
at
double.
Honestly, embarrassing. But no, like you said, it was a interesting weekend.
There's no way this guy in question is playing paddle on the fly in Edinburgh, though. Well, just give him people would spot him
Hearts.
Straight away.
It's at that time, that's quite quiet. I was really surprised, considering, you know, how quick it was. How quick the turnaround.
Is this like the Who Am I on a
give
Saturday?
Me your heart?
Just shoot your
what?
Head. Shake your head. Hearts.
What was the question?
It was a Hearts player.
0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. So come on down. Let us know what you're thinking this evening. Rangers fans, the search for a new CEO and Director of Football is underway after yesterday's big news. So many of you tried to get through last night. So if you couldn't and you want to elaborate, or if you've been thinking more about it today, please do pick up the phone. Something that I was thinking when I was looking back on the show is, every single bit of the reaction we gave last night, I think, was about Kevin Thelwell. Because, and I get why, I think it's easy to go Director of Football, signings, and then that's easy to judge whether they're good or bad. But the guy who ran Rangers day to day was also relieved of his duties yesterday, and Patrick Stewart. I don't think we did any real reaction to that. Like I say, maybe it's not as interesting, maybe there's not the same football kind of debate to be had there. But what about that? What about Patrick Stewart? Why was he sort of put in that bracket as well? What were his feelings? What do you think about where the club goes from here? And any leftover thoughts? And maybe you were just catching up with it yesterday, because it was breaking news all day. So what are you thinking about that now, Rangers fans? Where does the club go from here? Pick up the phone and let us know. 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. Celtic fans, the news is that you're closing in on Wilfred Nancy. Now, it kind of feels like that's been the case for a while, but again, why spread reports over the other side of the Atlantic as well, suggesting that it's even closer, if that's such a thing. So how are you feeling about this? Is there, I take it there's nobody out there that thinks it's not going to be him now? There was a stage where you're throwing names in and hoping maybe it's someone else. It kind of looks like that's going to be the guy. Although we said that at Rangers a few times, it does feel even stronger in this regard though. So pick up your phone on that, please. 01419511025. I'd love to hear from you, Motherwell and Hibs fans, if you're heading along to the game at Fir Park. It's a big game, that, because Hibs, I feel, are overlooked a little bit, Marvin. We picked a caller up on it last night who said Hearts are tailing away, Celtic are not great, Rangers are in the ascendancy. Everybody's ignoring that Hibs are levelling points with Rangers as well. And of course Motherwell doing some good things. That should be a good one.
Yeah, definitely. Two teams will both believe they can win that game of football. And like you said, Hibs are doing well, maybe going under the radar a little bit. Although Celtic will have, I think it'll be two games in hand after tonight. They can close that gap, I think it is, to 2 points and go 3 points ahead of Rangers at this moment in time. So, yeah, listen, David Gray and his players will be fully concentrating on that. But having played against Motherwell this season, Gordon, I can tell you for free that it will not be an easy game. In terms of football and the rotations and stuff that Motherwell play, they're probably the best that we've played against this season in terms of a team really pinning us back and trying to get to grips with it, which sounds weird because they scored right at the end. But in terms of possession and the way they played, I was really impressed with them. So, yeah, two teams who play very, very different football.
Hear
but
that.
Interesting how it goes.
Played Celtic and Rangers, says the Steelmen are the best.
Yeah. Listen, you're talking there quite rightly so about Hibs getting under the radar, because if you look at them, they're a good side, they've got a good squad. Motherwell win tonight, they're joint points with Hibs and Rangers, 21 points. So I think Motherwell are, and you're right, I think everybody's talking about the sort of football Motherwell playing, entertaining. And the good thing about it is, on top of that, they're getting their results. And I think that'll be a great game at Fir Park tonight. Might get in for the second half.
No, you won't. And a big night in the Championship as well. Did you give Neil Lennon any words of advice when you played Paddle about how to topple the Manager of the Month? Title chasing Partick Thistle and Mark Wilson and Alex Ray.
I was just trying to topple him by putting the ball over his head constantly, and he was effing and blinding and absolutely everything as he was chasing after it. But no, they've been going well as well, haven't they? But listen, Partick Thistle have been really, really good. I was on with Alex at the weekend, and we were just speaking about their game and beating St Johnstone. So yeah, listen, it's brilliant to see Mark and Alex going really well. But
was Alex? Did he get the credit that he deserves? By the way, for his wee, did you see the set piece routine from the corner?
He said, do you know what? He said that it was something that we had worked on. He didn't even take credit for it.
See, that's, I like that.
Yeah,
man.
I like that, because I would have been like, that's what
Dennis
I did
and
with
Boy Humble. Apparently that was his corner. And have you seen it?
Yeah, it's really, I've good, seen it, yeah. Really, really good.
No. Nah, you don't pay attention, do you?
But he gave credit to one of the
corner routine, then down, and flashed across and score straight off the training ground.
Do you know who helped him with that? He said one of the players who actually wasn't in the team, so they were setting up as the opposition, said to him, why don't we try this and tweak it a little bit?
Oh, so it wasn't him?
No. Alex, sorry, it was you, mate. It was all him, Gordon.
It could have been you.
Listen, that's the story of my life. It could have been you.
You're going into Morton, aren't you?
That's a good point. We've got a managerial movement as well with Dougie Emery heading to Raith Rovers. So any Morton or Raith fans want to get your thoughts in on that. I figure if this will get promoted, they'll need to add to the coaching staff. And that's your big moment.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
No, I don't think it. I don't think Thistle's my...
You need a strikers
calling.
Coach in the top flight.
Yeah, it's not my calling, Thistle.
No, because the fans don't like you.
Mainly. if I'm that's a problem. Truly honest about it, yeah. I'm waiting for a big job coming in, then I'll just sail under the radar and all of a sudden appear at one of the big clubs down in England.
Not sure. 01419511025. Craig is on the line first through. Hi, Craig.
Hi there, guys. Good evening, Gordon Squared. And is it David that's on?
Call him that if you like. It's Marvin. David. But
Is it Marvin? Sorry,
yes.
Marvin.
That's all right, fine, buddy. So
basically, I tried to get on last night, and my heat's a wee bit full of bumpy motors in there. I'm doing the dishes, so I'll try and get back to what I was doing. But it was about the Thelwell and the Stuart Sackins. A few people came on right off the bat last night and said, oh, they're not sure about the owners, they don't trust them. I actually think it was pretty good management from Kavanagh to come in and kind of just see where the lay of the land lies, because somebody comes in, the last thing you want to do is start laying people off right away. You want to see how they get on, and quite frankly, Had, you know, Chermiti came in and started scoring barrel loads of goals, Thelwell would still be in a job with the news. Do you know what I mean? Pound for pound, he's probably the worst signing we've ever made. And it's hard to see past that. But, you know, like, when Stewart was appointed this time last year, the takeover was just happening. So, really, how much of a say did Kavanagh have in that appointment? Again, Thelwell, he was in the door before the 49ers came in. Just how much of an a say in that did they have? Possibly they did, but they weren't in the door yet. So they had to give them a chance.
Just on that, I think you're right. On the set, he was actually asked this, Andrew Kavanagh, yesterday. I think what he said was, from memory, that the process to recruit Kevin Thelwell was already underway before the takeover, but he did sign off on his appointment. I think that was the answer he gave.
On the books, do you know what I mean? And, you know, with regards to the kind of the backing that he got in public, right, again, this is good management. In public, you've got a duty of care to your employees, and you have they have your confidence until they don't. Do you know what I mean? So at some point there's a tipping point and you have to change tack and you have to make you have to make a decision. But before that, you're not going to come out and say publicly, we're not happy with how this guy's getting on, he's on a sugary peg. I just think that it's shown really good leadership, and I think that Kavanagh has been really upfront. He's fronted well, and you know what, they may well make a bad appointment again, and then they will have to answer for that. But see, right now, I don't think there's a single Rangers supporter that can be disappointed with what happened yesterday. I think that Stewart, since you mentioned Stewart, we didn't really talk about him yesterday, and I wasn't thinking about that. Stewart has been, you know, he has been tone deaf. You know, some of the decisions he made regarding the supporters and banners and all sorts of things, he's essentially signed his own warrant there. You know, he's been on the, you know, under the cosh by the sports for a long time before the 49ers came in. So I just thought it was worth saying that let's see what happens. We can't do any worse than what we had.
I do agree that most Rangers supporters out there would be absolutely delighted with the news yesterday, Gordon. I was a bit surprised with it, especially after they got a result at the weekend.
Like the timing.
Yeah, the timing for it, mate, yeah. I thought if they were going to do that and they had it in their plans, maybe the international break would have been probably ideal time or something for them. But I do agree, because I think that, I know what you're saying about Patrick Stewart, but Thelwell, the recruitment isn't good. It hasn't been good. And they couldn't afford to get into January because they'll need more players. Plus the fact they need to get players out the building, first and foremost. Now, is it good management, good leadership? I think there's a bit there both that you can argue with. The fact that, yeah, they've recognised the situation and they've dealt with it. And but you've sacked three people.
Yeah.
Three of your main people.
Yes, it's good, it's good leadership if this turns into an improvement, yeah, ultimately. If you get the next one wrong, it's not good.
We're not even in December, and you've already went, we've made three mistakes right away here. So, yeah, you can flip it both ways. Good, strong leadership or poor judgment. And it's up to you to get it right for the Rangers fans next.
Yeah, I think they're massive calls to make. Like you said there, Gordon, about the recruitment, I think that would have been a big one. I think the owners would have spoke to Danny Rowe. He's been in long enough now to assess the squad. And he'd have probably turned around and said, we've spent over £20 million on these players, and I need, as you said there, probably another three or four in. So I think that would have been Kevin Thelwell. I think they would have said, right, that's enough. You've had, you know, that window. We've got it really, really wrong, and we can't afford to go into the January window with him signing players again or being a part of that process. Now, you know, we know the window, you've got the summer window and the winter window, but a lot of the work is being done now. So it doesn't surprise me at all in terms of the timing. I think Danny Rowe would have had to have 4 or 5 weeks in the job first and foremost to assess the squad. But yeah, listen, it is good leadership. I think if something's not right, we've seen it so many times in football when people just let it fester and it goes on 2-3 years. They decide to make the call early. And now you said there, Gordon, it's about getting it right now with the people who come in to replace them.
I've always thought this when we speak about the director of football or a sporting director role generally. You know, we're kind of, I think we're probably a bit behind Europe, and we come round to the idea and we used to be really suspicious of it. But what we really do is we judge the success of that role on signings. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's actually quite a wide-ranging role. I mean, Kevin Thelwell would have been overseeing academy stuff, sports science departments, the women's team. But he's just Rangers might now have a wonderful sports science department and a wonderful women's academy. Mm-hmm. I know, that's my point. So really, really we do all just judge it on signings. Patrick Stewart, on the other hand, there would have been a time when the CEO of a football club, people wouldn't care and bat an eyelid, wouldn't really know who he is or what he does. But the public eye now, the level of scrutiny is so intense. Something Craig mentioned, it kind of always felt like he wasn't a great fit. I don't know, and I don't mean to be unfair to Patrick Stewart, it just never seemed convincing. Is that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think also usually the fans will single out one person, you know, and it's usually the manager, but the manager obviously get replaced. They looked at Thelwell, but it was like they combined the two of them together, and the Rangers fans weren't having them. And I think the owners have taken stock of that. I think they now believe they've got the right man in as a manager. I think Mar's right. I think they would have sat down, had a long debate with him about the recruitment and how he sees the club going forward to try and get it a lot, lot better. And he's come up with those decisions. But I'll be interested to see who fills his shoes now. That's his next big, big job, to get that recruitment right.
Because that's the point, isn't it? If your next director of football makes similarly bad signings, you then don't say, oh, that was great leadership from Andrew Kavanagh. So he'll know that, that's the position. Similarly, Danny Rule as well. You know, you can't keep hiring the wrong guy. It's strong and it's good to recognise your mistakes and own them and try and fix them. You know, the next one kind of needs to work, doesn't it?
That's why I said you can put it both ways. You can look at strong leadership or you could put bad, bad judgment.
Let's thank Craig, who made some sensible points. Well thought out. Back to the dishes, Craig.
Hi, cheers, guys.
I know the feeling. Dishwasher giving me real grief at the moment. Oh, it's
why?
Just broken.
Well, just get the rubber gloves on.
That's the bit that's a hassle.
Do you get the rubber gloves on?
Nah. Wash like the pots and stuff, but everything else goes in the dishwasher.
It's been a long process.
That's horrendous.
We've had a few call outs and all. It's stressing me out. Anyway, Stuart's in Coke Bridge. Hi, Stuart.
Hi, guys.
What are you thinking, Stuart?
I would think that the best could play Thelwell and Patrick Stewart would be, believe it or not, Duncan Ferguson and David Weir.
Right, hold on. Which of these roles is going to Duncan Ferguson?
Well, I think he would be the man that would pick the players, and David Weir would be the main man.
Oh, jeez.
He's currently at Strasbourg now. So
he's just gone, though. There's a few
Why Duncan Ferguson, Stuart, just out of curiosity? You're going to put the Rangers transfer budget and the responsibility onto Duncan Ferguson?
Well, you think we've done it ever, man, to get the crowd going, you get the players going. I don't know if it takes...
Yeah, but he'll know about the dugout. With Danny Rule getting the players going, hold on a minute, Danny, I'll get this going here. You just sit in this. You sit down there and take a bit of a rest, and I'll go and do the rest for you.
And David Weir's not... If anything, David Weir would be the Kevin Thelwell role, the director. I don't think David Weir's got designs on being the CEO of it. Maybe he does, by the way. I'm basing it on absolutely nothing. But that based on his career path so far and his CV would be there. I don't know where Duncan Ferguson fits into either of those roles. But on David Weir, Stuart says, you know, I think he's at Strasbourg. He's literally just gone there.
Very recently.
I know that doesn't sound like one of the European superpowers, but they're part of the same group as Chelsea.
Yep.
I think that's seen as a very forward-thinking place to be for a guy who's in his type of role. But you never know. I can see why Rangers fans would want it, having done a similar role at Brighton.
Yeah, I can see why Rangers fans would link him with the job. But I agree with you. Him just going there, I think when you're in that sort of role as like a director of football, just to, you know, keep skipping from club to club doesn't really work. He was in at Brighton, did really well there, had the promotion there in terms of his job. Title, and then he goes across to Strasbourg now. So I can't see him going to Rangers. Duncan Ferguson, I could never see in either of those roles, if I'm honest.
Stuart, you know. I don't mean to be cheeky, but it sounds like you just sort of like Duncan Ferguson rather than analysing any suitability for the role. Because I think he was a coach at Everton. So how does that translate to being that this is like a different role?
I bet they could always get him in because he is a winner, and he was some player at Rangers and Everton. I mean, they could get in, he gets to the dressing room going as well. So
no, I know,
but he wouldn't be near the dressing room, Stuart. He wouldn't be. That's not his role. See, to be honest with you, I'd probably go the other way. The way the Rangers strikers are going, I'd bring him in as a player.
thought you were going to say that. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I think we'll hear a lot of Davy Weir on the wish list. I don't know how practical it is because of the suitability and because of what he's currently doing, but maybe it is. The other one, Stuart, will agree to disagree. I think that's a random shout, but I don't mind that. That's what we're here for. 01419511025. Thank you to Stuart, and we'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL are here on your Tuesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Speaking of which, Tuesday night, just think, a week ago We had no idea what was lying in store. A week ago, you were putting on the puffiest jacket Scottish football's ever seen. Your gloves, your hat, getting set up in the gantry at Hampden, and you had no idea what was about to unfold.
Yeah.
Are you over it yet?
I'm just over it. It's been a long week when you narrow that down, isn't it? But I've never swapped it for anything. Well, one or two things.
You know, on Monday morning, if you've got the iPhone, it tells you your screen usage from the previous week. Mine was astronomical. It's always high, but mine was astronomical yesterday morning. I was like, what have I been doing in the last week? And then it dawned on me, Scotland qualified for the World Cup, and I've watched those goals about 327 times each. But seriously, a week ago, that's...
incredible, isn't it?
Are you pretending you're Scottish again, just like you did at the Euros last summer?
Yeah, England had qualified, hadn't they, without conceding the goal and stuff. So I was then supporting Scotland. But what a game it was, by the way. Unbelievable game. And I was the same as everybody else, obviously. When it went to 2-2, I was like, I need to turn the TV over. I was like, that's it, done. And she was at the game working.
My goodness.
The missus at the game working. Yeah. So I was like, oh, she's going to come home in a bad, bad mood. And then obviously, you know, Scotland went on to win it, so she was delighted when she came home.
Listen, if Marvin Bartley can change his international allegiance, what does that say for Harvey Barnes? That's the big question. Get him in. Right, 01419511025. Mark is just along the road in Clydebank, or he's from Clydebank anyway. Mark, what are you thinking?
I think that I'm very happy that Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thurlow both left the club. But obviously over the last few days a lot has been said about Kevin Thurlow, but not in my opinion, for us, a lot about Patrick Stewart. But just quickly on him, this is a guy that has won the club for less than a year and overseen four Rangers managers. I think his tenure was one of indecision and poor decision. So an example of that is that on the 19th of February this year, he comes out and publicly backs him on for the second time, telling us that he's the man and that's if we're going forward with him or not, ripping up and starting again. And then 4 days later, on the 23rd of February, he sacks him. And then we get to Barry Ferguson, who does the best of what he can with what he has, and we can say thank you, no thank you, because we've hired somebody who is an architect, I think is the word they used, to describe Russell Martin. This is a quote I don't think he takes very well. And that lasts 8 weeks, and now we've got Danny Rowe by default because we couldn't convince Steven Gerrard and Kevin Muscat to come to the club, and I think they politely said it was timing, which is probably a nice way of saying we don't want to work with those two. And Danny rolls himself out. So I think the next appointment from Andrew Kavanagh needs to be, is very, very important. And I'm not so sure I would appoint a football man for it, if I'm honest. And obviously people, Duncan Ferguson or whatever, but I'd be more inclined just to leave Fraser Thornton in charge. I would just leave him there to do the job. And I think the first decision we have to pick the sporting director. And I did see an article today, to be fair, to see what the panel thinks, that there's obviously people pointing at, looking at Barry Ferguson potentially for it. And you would bring a football man into that seat to give Danny Rowe the support he needs to get the team winning, and maybe then look at a CEO when you get the right candidate. I don't see any reason to rush and remove Fraser Thornton right now. I would just let him do his job.
Yeah, listen, I think if we're all being honest, we probably don't know much about how Fraser Thornton operates. And so I take Mark's point, you know, let that could well be the case, that day-to-day running, and maybe he's perfectly capable of it. I've got no idea. I wondered where Mark was heading. I don't mean to be unfair to Barry Ferguson or Duncan Ferguson or any of the other Fergusons who may be out there, but it just feels like now... Maybe modern football is overthinking this stuff. I'm not saying that it's right, but it is a specialised role. I sometimes worry that because we are catching up on the director of football, sporting director, we just sort of pick a guy that kind of, you know, knows football and is maybe associated with the club and someone that you like, and he's not going to be the manager, so just stick him in. You know, we've seen Celtic fans in the last couple of weeks, I think, with the odd one saying, I will make Martin O'Neill, you know, the director. It's a really specialised role now. Yeah. You know, you look down the road and you've got like Dan Ashworth and guys like that, and we're speaking about Davy Weir, you know, having worked in technical roles at clubs like Brighton and Grant of Strasbourg. These are specialist roles. I don't know if it's just for someone like Barry Ferguson, is it?
No, they're big roles. Let's be honest, with a lot of responsibility. It's not just a case of turning up there with your blazer, your shirt and tie on, and the fans will love you. You've got to go and do your work, and it's a very difficult job to do. Look, I said at the beginning of the season that, and I think a lot of Rangers fans were crying out to get the structure right. And I think if you put it on a bit of paper, a structure at Rangers is right, but the problem they've got to do is put the right people in the right seats. And so far, they've not been able to do that from the last three, obviously, dismissals, and very important ones at that. So they've got to take their time. I don't think there's any rush just now. They've got to take their time, and they've got to get the right people in the right seats for them.
Mark, how have we gone from a discussion maybe in the summer or previously where could Barry Ferguson be the head coach? What makes you think he can be the director of football at a club like this, apart from the obvious ties with the club?
Well, to be honest, I don't know if he would be the perfect candidate. I really, if I'm honest, don't understand what a sporting director does. Honestly, my interest is in the first team, main team for football. I'm not that I don't care about the academy, but it's not the reason I go to Ibrox.
Sure.
At the same time, you're looking at the club right now going, all we seem to do is rip up and restart and rip up and restart, and it seems to go this endless cycle, whether it's football managers or directors or head of recruitment or whatever. And I appreciate that the Kavanagh 49er team bought the club in their structure. Fine. I'm not suggesting that Barry Ferguson is the best candidate. He might very well not be, if I'm honest. But I just feel that running in and appointing a CEO and a sporting director at the same time probably isn't the way to do this. Like, I think you would take one step, let it bed in, and then take the next step. And for me, Fraser Thornton is probably worth staying where he is, and you appoint the sporting director first, because the last thing I want to happen is, to be honest, is what happened to Philip Clement when he came in, was promised the world, and then Ross Wilson leaves and James Bisgrove leaves, and then before you know it, you're doing all that work and you can't concentrate on the job you were actually hired to do. Mm-hmm. So why not give Danny Rule the best possible chance and give him the support needed to make the job on the pitch easier, and the background and the running of the club, leave it to somebody who knows how to run a business and leave that alone for the minute. I mean, for the first time, why don't they just stop the bus and take a breath, rather than we just bounce through one thing to the next thing to the next thing out of a sense of urgency? I do agree you need the right bum in the right seat.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Marvin, like, there are high profile ex-players across Europe who've gone into sporting director roles, but it just feels like those guys sort of chose that path early on, you know, maybe specialised in it or qualified in it or whatever, and, you know, just really shaped their career path in that direction. I don't want this to come across that I'm saying like ex-players can't be the sporting director, but doesn't mean everybody can.
Yeah, it's a very different job, like you said, to being a head coach, which Barry Ferguson has done, and I'm sure he'll go back into one day as well. You know, you're almost a glue between what's happening on the pitch and the boardroom off of the pitch. And like you said, where you've got the head coach who's just looking forward to maybe the next couple of matches and maybe the next transfer window coming up, the sporting director's probably looking a year in advance of that. And that's their role really within it. So like we said, you're always going to be judged on what's happening on the pitch now. But in terms of the board members, they're going to look at, well, what are you going to bring to us over the next 18 months? And you're almost kind of, you know, projecting things that are going to come up in the future. So, yeah, listen, it's very, very different to a player's role or a manager's role or anything else. And it's important. I agree with what Mark's saying there in terms of Rangers probably need to get a sporting director first. I think it's really, really important, because the last thing you want to do is go into this January window not being prepared. It's not just about players coming in, by the way. It's about players going out and pathways for young players. They need to get this person in and very, very quickly so they can start preparing for January and then probably the summer window after that. If Rangers are going to be serious about what they want to achieve, the new owners are talking about winning trophies, etc., I think this is a massive, massive role for them that they need to fill.
Thank you very much to Mark on the line. What about Joe on the other line? What have you got for us, Joe?
Good evening, panel. I think, first of all, I think the relieving Patrick Stewart and Kevin Fairwell of their duties was long overdue. I was very surprised when it came through yesterday because I wasn't expecting it at all, along with a lot of other Rangers fans. I mean, I do question the timing. To me, it should have been done. I mean, the whole lot, he should have wiped the floor with the whole lot of them when Russell Martin went. But I also look, I mean, fair play to Kavanagh for making the decision. But I also think we really need to scrutinise so far their ownership of the club. Now, we're talking about Danny Rowe supposedly making a traffic light system, red, amber, green for the players, etc. I think if you look at Kavanagh and Padraig Murat so far, both of them have got one foot in red and one foot in amber. That's five high-profile people at the club who have got their jotters in the last 2 months. Russell Martin, Matty Gill, the boy Williamson, who was the assistant, and now your director of football and your CEO. Now, these people will all have been on, I imagine, 2-3 year contracts, etc., which is all going to have to be paid up. Again, costing Rangers and Rangers fans money. We go to the every season, we buy the season tickets, we buy the tops, the 3-4 tops, the nonsense that they sell in the shop, we all fly over and buy it. And I think it's long. I mean, they need to get this next appointment right. Now, looking at the two directors of football who have been mentioned today, you've got the boy Paul Mitchell, who's been about the game quite a lot, but fell out with Eddie Howe and was sacked at Newcastle recently, and Ross Wilson replaced him. Then you've got the lad, Tim, I don't know how you say his name, Stuytenden, who was at West Ham. This is the guy that fell out with David Moyes. David Moyes and him couldn't even be in the same building, apparently. And then he pushed for that boy, Lopetegui, to get the job. Lopetegui and him both got their daughters on the same day in January 2025. We need to be very, very careful what we're doing here because, as I heard you saying earlier on, and I've been on here many times myself and said the same thing, rebuild after rebuild after rebuild after rebuild. It's not washing anymore. The fans are sick of it. We are absolutely sick to the back teeth of this. You don't see any progress on the pitch. The boy Danny Rowe gets my back in 110%. I think the guy, if the guy gets the support and the guy gets what he wants, not what's put on him by the club or a sporting director, I think the boy could come good. But the Kevin Fairwell appointment, I mean, I know, Gordon, you said earlier on, obviously, Kavanagh said that they signed off on the appointment. That man walked into Rangers and seemed to have massive, massive, massive power overnight. And you look at his career, there's nothing in his career that said that he should have walked into a club like Rangers and had that amount of power and had that amount of say. I mean, he wasn't qualified for the job. When he left Everton, I went on a lot of the forums and I seen stuff on what the Everton fans were saying. They couldn't get the guy out of Everton quick enough. But this is the
problem, isn't it? When it's so sort of, because everything in football is linked to the results of the first team, right? And Joe says this is, you know, been Kevin Fairwell when Russell Martin went. But it's interesting. He mentioned a name there that's interesting. I think if you go to Ibrox and you say to Rangers fans, was Ross Wilson a good sporting director, director of football? No, because it came at a time when club didn't get results and maybe question marks over some of the signings. Ross Wilson's then gone on to Nottingham Forest. They've qualified for Europe and he's been appointed at Newcastle. Ross Wilson is clearly a good operator in that role, but everything needs to fit then. You know, everything needs to work rather than, you know, because that's the point. You can't keep binning the sporting director if the team goes on a bad run of results. But what's clearly happened here is there must be question marks about whether other elements of Kevin Thelwell's role were effective enough.
Yeah, well, obviously, the owners didn't think it was effective enough. I think that Joe makes great points there, right? Because when Rangers supporters go to the summer, they've seen the new owners come in, they've seen how the structure, and I do believe they've got the structure right. I keep saying it, but you can only have a structure right if you've got the right people in the right places. Rangers are crying out for stability. They're crying out for it. They need big decisions.
The summer was supposed to bring that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think that's what's disappointed. And you can hear him. Joe makes great points about it. Rangers fans are fed up with this.
Thank you very much to Joe. Celtic fans, where are you now on the pursuit of Wilfred Nancy? It seems to be getting closer to a conclusion. How do you feel about it all? Might be a good time to join in. We'll speak to you next, but I need to tell you about this first.
The Black Friday deal to beat them all. Clyde One.
Oh, surely the only Black Friday deal that matters, because we are offering you the chance to win £700,000, the biggest competition on radio, and someone wins the lot on Friday. For 15 entries into the draw, text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can head to makemeawinner.co.uk for some brilliant Black Friday deals, where you'll also find the rules for this network competition, or call 03434 269 340. Calls charged at a standard rate, over 18s only. Lines close 5pm Friday. £700,000. Text YES to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Teams are out for the big games tonight: Motherwell and Hibs, Partick Thistle, Dunfermline. So if you want to get involved on either of those, please give us a call. Alec is a Celtic fan on the line though. Alec, it now, I appreciate we keep sort of saying this, but it now really looks like Wilfred Nonsi's appointment's not far away. What are you thinking at the moment?
I think it's probably going to go ahead, but it looks it. My main concern, and one of the reasons why I phoned you guys, by the way, good evening. It's freezing outside. I'm still walking the dog. But we're in now, so hope you're all having a good night.
Thank you, Alec.
But, thanks for bringing me on. One of the things I'm worried about is that we've not really changed anything. We're changing managers. Brendan's went, which I was a fan of Brendan, I must admit. I think he's done great for us. I'm a fan of Martin O'Neill, God bless him. He's come back in at 73, done a great job of steadying the ship and everything else. Now we're bringing in the new manager, if it's Wilfred Nonsi, whatever he is. But my worry is we've not really changed anything with the team. The problem is we're still where we were with Brendan Rodgers. And I know that's because Chancellor Windy's not here yet and everything else. So I just hope with all the fans shouting and bawling and all the nonsense that's going on, the frustration is there's just no enough depth in the team. And if we bring in a new manager, we need to get that sorted out, right? We can't go another winter, another summer, European football potential next year. We blew it ourselves this year. We had a brilliant chance to move forward, and we didn't do it because there's just no enough depth in the team to cope with European football, Scottish football, all the cups.
Let's put that to the guys, Alec, because I think it's an interesting point. There's obviously a bit of positivity built up since Martin O'Neill came. Alec doesn't feel though that maybe that much has changed. You at Livy would love Celtic's depth that they have. However, by Celtic standards, like Alec is right, it's brilliant to get those last minute winners, but you do look at the other night where Engels plays right back for a little bit, and look, McCowan comes on out wide, and this isn't necessarily going to improve anytime soon because there's injuries as well, and then there's players that just aren't in the type of form that you would want them to be, whether that be Balakwisha or whoever. So it's going to be an interesting period coming up because the schedule is absolutely relentless.
Yeah, it's a really important period. And like you said there, with the game at the weekend, you know, Celtic fans will admit the performance was poor. You know, and the main thing was that they got the 3 points from the game and they can move forward from there. So it looked to me at this moment in time that they need a fresh voice. I don't mean on a permanent basis, and someone with maybe new energy and new ideas. And I get, you know, all that Alec is saying in terms of, you know, the squad depth and everything else, but they just don't seem to have that energy that, you know, you associate with Celtic for so long. And yes, they're still winning games of football, and yes, they're closing the gap on Hearts, but there's so much more to come from that squad, and they just look a little bit lethargic. I saw at the back end of last season, and I said this on the show on Sunday, then they go into the cup final against Aberdeen, and you thought all of a sudden they'll turn it on, and they didn't. And it's almost like they started this season that same sort of vein. And yes, you know, Brendan Rodgers has left the football club. There's to be a new permanent manager coming in. But, you know, these next few weeks are absolutely vital leading into the January window. There definitely needs to be fresh players brought in, because I think they need a spark from somewhere.
Thank you very much to Alec. It's that time of the hour where I get a bit frantic and try and squeeze another call in before the news. So hope no one takes it personally. Let's move on quickly and try Ian, who's in Port Glasgow. Hi, Ian.
I'm not in Port Glasgow, Gordon.
Right. Where are
I'm
you?
I'm in Kona, the big island, Hawaii, with my two pals.
That's like Port Glasgow,
sure,
though,
not
is
Port
it not?
Glasgow.
Similar.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, listen, Ian, hamming it up, trying to say that there's a delay because of the time difference over in Hawaii. Come on, Ian.
Well, it's only 10 to 9 here in the morning or something like that.
Oh, I love the commitment that you're in Hawaii and you're thinking about us.
10 to 9 in the morning.
Thinking about us three.
Listen, guys, we are thinking about you. But anyway, this new manager, hopefully, will be on board for Celtic in the first of December. I think they've agreed a compensation fee of £2 million, Gordon. Is that right, Marvin, Gordon?
Honestly, I actually don't know. Just whatever you've read out there, I'll take it, Ian. That, you sound like a good source.
Anyway, the game on Saturday night. What an unusual time for a game of football on a Saturday night at Paisley. Is it a Smythe Stadium, but Marvin?
I don't even know what it's called. That's a Beat the Pundit question.
Let's not worry about kickoff times or locations so close to Beat the Pundit, Ian. Come on, what are you thinking about your team at the moment?
Well, we're not playing great at the moment. Obviously, we've got tons of injuries, Gordon. But step up Callum McGregor again with a goal. And I say to my two pals, Chris and Craig. Craig's a Rangers supporter. Chris is a Celtic supporter. They were just getting ready to go. And I shouted back, "Oh my God, what a goal by Callum McGregor." Oh. But as I say, we're out here, holiday of a lifetime, guys. And I'll tell you now, it's
some boys' holiday, that. I've heard of people going to Benidorm or something like that in their boys'. I've never heard three guys
phone your
going
mates
to
up
Hawaii.
Fancy Hawaii.
I don't listen. Lean obviously lives a certain calibre of life, which I'm very jealous of. Callum McGregor did obviously dig Celtic out. And you never know, because Celtic have been built on these types of moments over the last couple of years. Anthony Ralston, Ross County, was it Leo Labada, Dundee United? You always need them throughout a season. What you don't need is to rely on it all the time, obviously. They need to be an outlier. And Paisley's a hard place to go. Some really good Celtic teams have gone to Paisley and, you know, and found it difficult. Maeda's popped up late on against Motherwell. There was the controversial late penalty at Rugby Park. There was this. So it's good that you've got that in you, clearly. But you also maybe don't want to risk that one day you can't do it and then it starts unravelling.
Yeah, listen, as a one-off, I'm sure, you know, Celtic fans are absolutely delighted with it. But like you said there, it's almost like, you know, we're not playing that well. And yes, we are winning at the end. But I always say, if you're at Celtic Football Club, it's not just about winning games of football. It's about doing it in style as well. But yeah, Callum McGregor, listen, we've had callers, you know, call into the show and say, "Oh, I'm not sure he should be starting. His legs look like they're going a little bit." When they needed him on Saturday, he was there. You know, he took the game by the scruff of the neck at the end. You know, smashes the ball into the top corner. And as I said, if it gets to the end of the season and Celtic end up winning the league, no one will remember the performance. It's about those big, big moments. And, you know, that's the reason he's a captain. He's a leader of that football club. And he speaks about it all the time. It's about winning games of football. They've managed to do that, but they need to do it with a little bit more style, Gordon.
I'm outing your colleague, Andy Halliday.
Oh.
You're safe for the first time ever. You cannot be capable of a worse shout on the show this week. You think Shamal George should have saved it?
Wow. He should have saved McGregor.
You're a big goalie critic, so I'm
interested
to see
like
if you jump on board.
It's well documented, but no, I couldn't take that. I don't know what Andy's thinking.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper's not going anywhere near
we
that.
We were texting back and forward on Saturday night, and I said to him, "I think he thinks the shots are hitting slow motion rather than that's just the replay."
No, the goalkeeper ain't getting anywhere near that.
His hatred for goalies is blinding everything. Thank you to Ian. Enjoy Hawaii. What a life, honestly. Mm. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I can't offer you a trip to Hawaii, but I can give you a ball signed by Marvin Bartley and Gordon DL. Nearly as good. Is that what we're thinking? Or the coin. Beat the Pundit is up next, so jump on board. I know loads of you will fancy your chances. Are you still unbeaten this season?
Yep, 100%
interesting.
Record.
Interesting. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is in the building alongside Marvin Bartley, and there is still plenty of time to get your calls in. We have again been reflecting on the big news coming out of Ibrox yesterday about Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell and where the club goes from here. We've had some interesting suggestions, a bit of a look at Patrick Stewart as well, because it felt like last night's show was all about Kevin Thelwell's role recently. Celtic fans, I appreciate the language is probably getting a bit repetitive, but closing in is the phrase, I think, on Wilfried Nancy. It should be soon. Again, how long is soon? We will find out in the coming days or weeks. But where are you now in terms of what your thoughts are going forward? It's a big week as well. European football just around the corner. We've got some fantastic games tonight, actually. Just a couple, but very intriguing. Motherwell against Hibs. I'm going to give you team news. Motherwell have made some really interesting changes to that team for the visit of Marvin's former club and our old pals, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray, going great in the Championship, but they welcome Marvin Bartley's paddle partner from last night, as he told us, Neil Lennon, this evening. So we'll look ahead to those games. Plenty of time to get your calls in. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Gordon Deal, you've not played in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I've won my last four.
Yeah, that's fine. I was getting to that. You won 3-1. Marvin, you are in terrific form. Top of the table, undefeated, absolutely flying. Let's see what tonight brings with Kenny, who's on the line. How are you, Kenny?
I'm alright, how are you?
Good, Kenny. I don't know if this is good news or bad news for you, but there's actually some added pressure on you tonight. I don't know if you knew this, but we're playing for an added bonus, okay? For every question that the caller, in this case Kenny, gets right, we're going to donate £10 to Cash for Kids, and it's thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. So we've just added to the list of incentives, Kenny. You can donate.
I'm not getting a donut then.
Exactly. Donate money to charity, pick a sign ball or a coin, and humiliate Marvin Bartley or Gordon Dl. That is a triple threat of achievements tonight.
Brilliant.
More likely Gordon.
If you do get a donut, you need to pay £50 for a privilege of playing.
Don't you worry, Kenny, we wouldn't do that to you. But we'll toss the coin. If it's the blue side, it will be Marvin Bartley, and if it is the red side, it will be Gordon Dl. What was that? What was that for anyone on the live stream?
Shuffling into position.
I'm watching your tossing technique.
That's a private matter. He's just going to close his eyes, shuffle his shoulders, lean forward. Nah. I don't know what that was. Doesn't work on radio, but the live stream will be.
He filled his nappy.
That is kind of what my son does when he fills his nappy.
I don't think that was the occasion here, to be quite honest with you.
Someone actually, forgive me for, let me try and find it. Someone did send me, I think it was a message on Instagram actually. Laura says, who keeps licking their lips and sniffing when the callers are talking? It's giving me the absolute ick, says Laura.
It's not me, I don't lick my lips.
Do you know what? I don't think the sniffing is me, but then it could be because I do have the cold, but I don't think I have been. But somebody apparently sniffing, licking their lips.
Well, if I was sniffing my nose like this, their eardrums would be away.
That microphone would be inhaled.
Ah, you're right, man.
You're not licking your lips either.
Anyway, right. The blue side will be Marvin, the red side will be Gordon. And it is blue for
that
Marvin.
That was a massive toss, by the way.
Nah, yeah, I'm fantastic at it.
Where the high did that go?
Very
come on
high.
In, Kenny.
It
sounded
right.
Nervous,
nearly
mate.
Nearly
you'd be fine.
What?
I nearly hit the ceiling.
I know, it was a good one. I didn't believe you caught it.
Some trajectory on it. Anyway, what we do is give Marvin something else to listen to. Kenny, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
That's fine.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Before Rangers, Kevin Thelwell was at which English club?
Leeds.
Who was the last senior Celtic player to be signed from another Scottish team?
Mike McKinnon.
Which Scottish Premiership side have lost the most league games this season?
Dundee.
Name the only club Lawrence Shankland played for outside of the UK.
Beerschot.
How many times have Scotland qualified for the Euros?
5.
Dougie Imrie ended his playing career at which current Scottish League One side?
Inverness.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon Dl. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can, but I'm no playing.
Good. Marvin Bartley, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Just keeping you on your toes.
By the way, there's a few in there that's ridiculous.
I thought tough. No?
Yeah, but we'll discuss it after the event.
Okay. 30 seconds, same questions to Marvin Bartley, and your time starts now. Before Rangers, Kevin Thelwell was at which English side?
Everton.
Who was the last senior Celtic player to be signed from another Scottish club?
Luke McCowan.
Which Scottish Premiership side have lost the most league games this season?
Livingston.
Name the only club Lawrence Shankland played for outside of the UK.
first shot.
How many times have Scotland qualified for the Euros?
3 times.
Dougie Emery ended his playing career at which current Scottish League One side?
Hamilton.
Kenny, what do you think?
Beat.
Oh yeah, that doesn't sound good, Kenny.
Have you given any money to charity though?
Oh no.
At least once.
Good, right, let's find out.
You got a tennis tenner.
Kenny sent me on a bit of a roller coaster here because after the first question I thought he might be on. We might be giving no money to Cash for Kids tonight because he, I mean, I see the mistake, but he said Leeds for Kevin Thelwell because of the 49ers.
Yeah.
But I did feel like it was quite well documented. It was Everton and Marvin got it. So it's 1-0 and no pounds to Cash for Kids so far. However, Kenny did restore my faith a bit. Luke McCowan was the last senior Celtic player to be signed from another Scottish side. I would have accepted Ross Doohan, the goalkeeper, because I think he might have been after, but he hasn't played and stuff like that. Yeah. So I would have accepted.
It was also a free agent.
Exactly,
well.
Kenny. Yeah. Like Kenny, yes, trying to get Kenny bonus points.
Yeah, no bonus.
He was a free agent. So anyway, 2-1 to Marvin. You're hard on yourself. Dundee, you've lost more games than Livy.
Yeah?
One more. You've lost 7.
See, be fair, mate. I think you look disappointed now.
No, why are we hoping Livy have lost the most games in the league?
It's not all about. Let's go for the 10.
So yourselves and Kilmarnock have lost 7.
Mm-hmm.
Dundee have lost 8. And actually, Kenny got it. So Kenny equalises.
Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah, it is. You both knew that Lawrence Shankland has played for Beerschot.
Oh no.
It's a good game, Kenny.
You thought you were going to escape.
Yeah, I thought Kenny's only getting one.
So did I. 30 quid, Kenny, to Cash for Kids so far. You're doing alright. How many times, and this will obviously, guess you'd come down to fine margins, it's just a number. How many times have Scotland qualified for the Euros? It is 4. None of you got it. None of you got it. 92, 96, 2020, 2024. So none of you got it, which means it all comes down to the last question. Dougie Emery ended his playing career at which current Scottish League One side? No, Kenny said Inverness.
It's Hamilton all day long.
Dougie Emery used to play for Inverness, you know.
I don't care, it's Hamilton.
They are in League One.
I don't care because he was in the coaching staff after he played at Hamilton.
Kenny, it is Hamilton. That stupid laugh.
Lucky Kenny.
Stupid laugh.
Listen, he got money for Cash for Kids, so I'm delighted for him, but it's a massive L going next to your name and another W for me.
Kenny, I honestly.
It's an L.
All right. An L go? Because it's an L go next to his name. Right. An L as in loss.
Yes, okay, but where's the goal?
A loser.
My goodness. Kenny, Dougie Emery did play for Inverness. They are in League One. It was a calculated guess.
And I didn't even know. I just knew that Inverness was playing the night, so I just went for Inverness.
Kenny, the one that will keep Kevin Thelwell, Everton. I think you had good knowledge, Kenny. I think you should have got that.
And I just went with Rangers 49ers.
Who's your team, Kenny?
Celtic.
Oh, you'd have got it if he's a Rangers fan, for goodness sake. But anyway, Kenny, let's start on a positive. 30 quid to Cash for Kids, thanks to our friends at Cairnhill Structures. You'll be happy with that.
Aye.
But you lost to Marvin Bartley. Not so happy.
Well, I've also lost to Gordon Dale as well. So.
Oh, there's a double.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, because sometimes I do ask people if they've played before. I forgot to ask Kenny, so there we go. Kenny, as a Celtic fan, what would you say your current mental state is? There's a lot going on. AGMs and Martin O'Neill and Wilfred Nancy and all that stuff. Where are you?
I'm not too bothered about the board. I just think we should get a better manager than Wilfred Nancy.
Right, so what, underwhelming then? Because you made your piece that it's going to be him, though. Yeah, there's no way out of this now, is there? Or is there?
To be fair, I'd rather go for the KGL Knutson, the Bodo Glimt manager, but looks like it's going to be Wilfred Nancy. But so we'll back him, we always do.
What would be underwhelming about it? Just sort of the pedigree, where he's come from, or?
Just that he's sat 7th in the MLS and he's not really done anything with any team, so.
I mean, I think he won silverware at Columbus, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Clearly not loads, there's not a hugely extensive managerial CV there, but I think everybody knows, look, everybody kind of knows that. I think even the under-fire Celtic board acknowledged that they are hoping this is a clever appointment. It's clearly not an obvious one. It's clearly not one that's screaming you right in the face from the outside. But I was going to say, you have to trust people to get it right. That's what they're there for. Friday perhaps shows there is not a lot of trust between elements of the fan base and those that run the club, but we'll see.
It's certainly thinking outside the box. I don't think anyone's seen that coming. They've obviously done their homework. He's not coming with a great deal of experience as a manager. He's coming into the Scottish League, and there's a bit of work to be done with Celtic, because I think because of the situation with injuries and, you know, one or two players off form, January's got to be a big, big window for him. Of that, there's no doubt. But I totally agree with you. Look, you can't judge anybody until he comes in and then you see what he brings to the table.
But look, that's, we're all so invested in it. That's why we love the sport. And if you're a fan, you're allowed to... Your emotions are going to be there. You're going to be excited. You might not. You might be intrigued. You might be underwhelmed. Obviously, you can only truly judge him when he gets there. But it's like anything. It's like a signing, a manager. You do your research. You have a look and see what you think before it happens.
Yeah, because it's not a huge name, and it's not a name that, you know, as Kenny said earlier on, that maybe was linked at the start, or people even knew a lot about. I imagine a lot of this will be stat driven though, in terms of Celtic going for a new manager. There's stats on absolutely everything at this moment in time. So yes, he sits seventh in the MLS at this moment in time, but if your team's getting to the final third constantly and creating chances but the striker's not scoring, then Celtic will look at it and say, well, we have better players and et cetera, et cetera. So listen, it's one that's kind of left field for us, because, you know, we're not in that line of work and looking for managers. But as I said, they'd have definitely done their research and their homework on him. Does it mean it's going to be a guaranteed success? No. But I'm very interested to see what he brings to the Scottish game and to Celtic Football Club.
Thank you very much to Kenny. He gave us the appropriate cash injection. That's really
that
what we were,
yeah,
what we
tried.
Were looking for.
He tried.
Right. Don't be so patronising.
No, he tried and he lost. It's just what happens.
I thought he was good.
He just come up against
him
and
10 other people.
His best pal as well. We dig it.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to look at these questions to see if I can get him another point or something. Take one off you, or I don't know. Is there anything you
think wrong? He's gone now. You're going to call him back? You've not got enough credit on the show for that, mate.
Honestly. What about? Well, listen, the aforementioned. What about your old pal? Gone then. Dougie Emery. Wraith Rovers.
Brilliant for him. You know, it's one, a job that he had looked at before, and obviously, you know, they went for somebody else. But, you know, he did really, really well at Morton, and I think the time was probably right for both the club and for himself to move on with his contract ending at the end of the season and not looking like he was going to sign a new one. So, yes, I know he's very excited to go in there. He's a young up-and-coming manager, and for him, it's probably a natural progression in terms of size of the club and size of budgets. And, you know, they've got a really, really good chance with Dougie at the helm now to go and challenge, you know, for definitely a playoff spot. Maybe St. Johnstone and Partick might be too far away, but he won't be giving up on that. So, yeah, listen, I can see Wraith making the playoffs definitely, and then moving forward from there, he's got a long-term contract as well.
Yeah, I agree with Marv. Maybe sometimes as a manager, you've been at a club and you think it's time for a little bit of a change. A new club, fresh ideas, a new challenge. Obviously, the lure of working with Andy Milne again, his assistant, probably helped him in that situation. Good club. I know the club very, very well. They will certainly back him. But it'll be interesting to see how he does.
Surely the newspapers out there are going to pick up those quotes and, you know, Wraith legend backs new manager. That's what you would do. If you were Roger Hannah and you were at the top of your game, that'd be worth a wee sidebar in the Scottish Sun tomorrow.
Not really, would it? No, yeah. I don't think people are too bothered now about my Wraith.
You are.
No, all the goals you scored there.
I'm a super scoreboard legend.
The big question is...
I moved up the ladder.
The big question is, though, can we get... Because we always look after our own. We do it with Mark and we always tell everyone how great a job Marvin does. I tried to keep a straight face there, honestly I did. He's nearly spat his coffee out. Where could, there's surely an opening here, because either if Dougie Emery's looking for a Wraith legend to go on his coaching staff, or your good pal Billy Davis is now in charge of Morton. So you should one of the two.
I tell you what, they're in good hands now, in the sense of with an experienced guy at the helm.
And Billy, will you get that job now?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how.
Well, that's a lie, but anyway.
Yeah, I do. I spoke to him once.
Why is he trying to get rid of you? Any job possible.
He's plugged me for every job.
Old Gibraltar looking for a new assistant. Perfect for you. You went down on holiday.
He would still do this show. You're trying to tell me he would leave us to be the Morton number two? No offence, Morton fans.
All
you do
long.
Both. Could juggle that.
I couldn't juggle.
We've got the Livy assistant sitting here. Don't put him off.
But he hardly turns up. You know what I mean?
Do you know I got booked at the weekend, actually? We got time for me to tell the story.
Yes, someone actually was inquiring about this.
A disgrace.
But what for? Did you kick the ball on the pitch again, or was it?
No, a ball went onto the pitch.
What? By magic?
Well, there's a lot of people within that stadium who it could have been. And do you know what? The assistant referee runs across, points clearly at Davey, shows a yellow card for the ball going on the pitch. Fine.
Is the rule not that if you don't know who's committed indiscretion, the manager does get the yellow? Or something like that?
No idea. I don't think they know the rules. Anyway. Steady. Then the fourth official then
you'll
says to me,
that back. Compliance officer will
he says,
to you.
That was yellow card was to you. And I was like, well, it definitely wasn't, because he didn't point at me. He's like, no, I'm telling you, you're getting booked.
Good.
And I said to him, well, I'm telling you, you're not the referee and you have no cards. So that's going with Davey. So I'm interested to see who they give that.
So you still don't know?
Still no idea. The fourth official saying to me, 100% that's going to you. He just pointed at the wrong person.
But clarify that after a game, can you not?
Like they had bigger things to clarify after the game, mate.
Get you and Davey mixed up.
Yeah, exactly. So you kind of look a little bit different.
Hold on.
Davey said you got more hair than me.
Well, no, tell anybody. Was it you?
Who kicked the ball on the pitch?
I have no idea.
But you've got previous. We've outed you for doing it at Celtic Park before.
Yeah. You have.
Did who? I?
Yeah.
You've spoken about this in the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you're guilty.
I don't know who did it this time. Anyway, let's move on. It's a break.
Jamie is on the line. How are you, Jamie?
Not too bad, Gordon. How are you getting on yourself?
Yeah, good,
right?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. What are you thinking tonight?
I was going to say, I hope Marvin and Gordon are doing well as well. I didn't know anyway.
Nah, ignore them.
Cheers, mate.
So I'm a Celtic fan, and obviously we're really close to appointing Wilfred Nancy at the minute. But I think, given the next couple of games that Celtic have got coming up, I think it would be unwise to appoint him right this second. I think the problem is that Celtic have actually just took too long at this point to appoint a manager. So we're just about to play, I think we play Hibs next, and then we play Hearts on the 5th. And I think those are must-win games for Celtic. If Celtic want to be top of the league by Christmas, which they've got an opportunity to do so, I think trying to bring in a new manager a week before the Hearts game would be unwise, especially given that Hearts are the in-form team and could likely take something off us. I know we've got a really good record at Celtic Park against Hearts, but I don't know... Obviously, what's going to come this season? Obviously, Celtic have been rotten, Hearts have been really good. So they could come to Celtic Park and potentially take 3 points. But the point I want to make is that I think appoint Wilfred Nancy after the Hearts game and give the next two games to Martin O'Neill. I want to know what the panel think of that.
Yeah, forgive me if Jamie did mention it, but I think there's four, isn't there? So is it goes Feyenoord, Hibs, Dundee?
No, including the Europa League game, sorry.
There's even Dundee in between, though. That's the thing, you know, that's what it said about the schedules is incredible. So at some point then, right, if Wilfred Nancy is appointed soon, he's going to be appointed 2 days before a game. Like, do you know what I mean? It kind of has to be. So we're at Tuesday night. I'm assuming it's not tonight or tomorrow. They play Feyenoord on Thursday. Straight on to Hibs on Sunday. Straight to play Dundee Wednesday. Hearts... Sunday, Roma the following midweek. Have we got a bit of a gap yet? No, it's still Roma and then the League Cup final. Yeah. So every midweek's taken. So Wilfred Nancy comes in 2 days before a game with a squad that's already weaker than it should be, personnel wise, and damaged by injuries. Mm. So, yeah, a manager brings stability and at least you then know where you're going forward. But he's not going to be able to come in and wave a magic wand like that, is he?
No, but I would have him in the building. I know what Jamie's sort of a thinking there. He's talking about inform Hearts. Last two league games, Celtic will pick up 6 points, Hearts have picked up 186. So as much as you look at the fixture list, they are difficult games, of course they are. But for me, I think you've got to get your manager in the building. Sometimes it works the other way. Because players just get that lift knowing a new manager's come in thinking, I need to be playing for my places here. It's coming up to a transfer window very soon. Will I be the one that he wants out the door, or am I going to be a permanent fixture in the team? So sometimes it works the other way.
Do you think it'll be before that, Marvin? Jamie says after Hearts. So like I say, Feyenoord, Hibs, Dundee, Hearts. If it's after Hearts, you're then days away from the League Cup final. Are you letting Martin O'Neill get that close and then taking it away from him? Or is it done at the end of this week, start of next week?
Yeah, I think it will be announced this week and then he'll take over after the Hibs game, so before the Dundee one. You know, I think if you're bored and you're speaking to a new manager and you're saying, actually, you know, you've got some massive games coming up, can you take over in 2 weeks' time? That's not something Celtic Football Club are going to do. The size of the football club domestically, you know, what they expect to achieve in terms of winning trophies, they should worry about nobody else. So, you know, whether a manager's coming in 2 days before a game, day before a game, day of a game, you're expected to win that game of football. And Wilfred Nancy will know that. That's the way that things need to be. So, yeah, I think Martin O'Neill will have these last two games, and I think he'll be announced and then take the Dundee game for his first one.
But he won't be coming into the building not knowing exactly what his squad is.
Do your homework.
He'll be sitting every hour and watching Celtic games and looking at different
things. But listen, similar for Danny Rule. I'm not saying it's like exclusive to Celtic, but they will have like no training sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Really proper, full.
Sometimes it's just a new voice though, Gordon. I've had it before, and managers just come in. It's just the voice and maybe a different ideas that you can speak about.
I'm not saying you can't make a difference. Yeah. I'm just pointing out that the schedule couldn't be busier. They play every midweek. And with that, there's a cup final in there. I know it's been bad, but are Celtic, are they ready to give up on Europe altogether yet? I mean, I would suggest no. It's not unthinkable that they can still progress. Jamie, the previous caller was a bit underwhelmed by the imminent arrival, whenever it may be. How are you feeling?
I would say I'm probably underwhelmed as well, but I don't think I'm quite as negative as the previous caller. We've not just pulled Wilfred Nancy out of the air. Do you know what I mean? Like, that name, it's not as if somebody's just been watching MLS highlights and went, oh, they look quite good, and decided to contact them. There's obviously some kind of analytical background or something. I remember when Ange came in, I know Celtic are kind of almost like unofficial members of the City Group, aren't they? Because they kind of get players from Man City, and apparently Ange came from a referral through the City Group. So I wonder if there's maybe some other kind of tie there, but you would imagine that there's a reason behind it. I'm fully behind them because, I've watched a few clips of them myself, and it is only clips, but they look as if they play kind of fast-paced attacking football. So I don't know. We'll see. I'll back him, but I'd be lying if I said I was looking forward to it.
Thank you very much to Jamie on the line. We will take more of your calls when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Marvin Bartley are here, 0141 951 1025. We're going to do a build up to some big games tonight as well. If you want to get involved in any of the big talking points, please do. Here's one for you, Celtic fans. On the back of the AGM, quite revealing, I guess, if that's the right word, about the way things are and the reality of the way things are. Because after all that at the AGM and the sort of the fuss that was made and the protests that were made, they've now released the votes, the motions that were put up and all that, because obviously the AGM didn't finish. So after all of that, the notion to reappoint Desmond, Lowell, Nicholson, etc., all ended up at over 99%. Because the shares of the people in the room are so small. Now, that doesn't mean you're wrong to go and try and get your questions answered or whatever, but that right there is the reality of what Celtic's corporate structure looks like. So if you were to look at the votes, you'd go, wow, those directors are all extremely popular. And then you see the video footage of the room and the scenes in the stands and so on. So that's where Celtic find themselves today, I guess. Celtic fans, give us your thoughts on it. We've got a good full-time teaser sent to you by Noah in Paisley. He says, it's been a week since Scotland's World Cup qualification. Can you name the last player from each host nation to play for each Old Firm team? So, can you name the last player from each host nation, USA, Canada, Mexico, to play for Celtic and one for Rangers as well? So, six answers, Alistair, essentially. Johnson. Three for each. So, Alistair Johnson.
Canada.
Fill in the blanks. Canada, Celtic. Okay.
Right.
Easy.
What was his name?
I don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out.
Tillman?
Yes. Tillman? Malik Tillman is the last Rangers player to play for the USA, or the last USA international to play for Rangers.
So many did we get?
Six. So three for each, adding up to six. Why are you looking at me like that? That should be a simple concept.
Three from each.
Right. We need a
country.
We need a USA, a Canada, and a Mexico international for Celtic, and we need the same for Rangers.
I got you.
Okay, maybe I didn't explain it well enough.
You didn't. Right.
Take one more guess. So the last Canadian to play for Celtic is Alistair Johnson, and the last American to play for Rangers is Malik Tillman, or international, certainly.
The Mexican is the right back.
For which club?
Celtic. And I can't remember his name. It's starts with a J, didn't it? Is it?
It's actually not your worst train of thought. I've seen much worse.
Are you
from
coming
you.
Along the road with me here?
Well, I know the answer, but yeah, you're not far.
Jai Usom, innit? Some.
The name that you just got mixed up.
Suarez, Jarvis.
Use that and stick a J in the front and you'll get it.
Suarez.
No.
Suarez.
You need to lose the S.
Right.
I don't mean.
How do you say it?
That's him. Well, Juarez.
Juarez, right, okay. Have you got it?
Efrain Juarez.
That's it.
Wow, that's a great
right,
shout.
Leave it there. Well done. Oh, that's not the one I thought
you'd
get.
You get a Mexican
next.
Rangers one, please.
Efrain Juarez. I can't believe you thought it was going to be GS. Oh, my goodness. It's like the old Stephen with a PH.
Oh, goodness.
Let's quickly, we'll take John, then we'll do the build up to the games. I suppose a lot of the fans will be in the stadiums by now. John, take it away.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we? Okay.
Good. You?
I'm good, mate. Thank you.
Nice one. What are you thinking?
By the way, it's part of my daily routine now, or my nightly routine. So, big shout out to you guys.
Thank you, John. But it's a pleasure to have you. What are you thinking tonight?
The potential Celtic manager on the next one. Basically, I remember when Ange got announced, and I lead to do a wee bit of homework, as most people probably should when you want to make opinions on certain people, I'd imagine. And there was a cracking video I watched on YouTube about the Socceroos and about how basically Big Ange transformed that team. And I got a wee bit excited about it, and that worked too, obviously, all right, you know, the way you come in and done what you done with Celtic. Anyway, I just watched one today as well about Wilfred Nancy, about how he transformed the team over in the USA. Now, this was obviously a year ago, this video was out, but it basically just showed you the kind of stats, and he took that team to top of the stats for everything in the games, apart from one thing, which was long balls. He likes to play a 3-4-3, he likes to play the high press, and he likes to keep his players fit. And it just seems, but the more I was kind of watching about it, the more it just seemed to be running about the Celtic fit. You know, that kind of, you know, the kind of entertaining football, etc. And as much as people saying they don't know who he is, etc., this guy's really well thought of over there. And I think we said a few nights ago as well on the show, Celtic aren't going to get a top-tier manager with all due respect, you know. You want to get one that's basically the players that they bring in, you know, somebody that's a potential upcoming fantastic manager to kind of grow the club, grow himself, grow his stature, and take it for there. So that's really my point. I'm getting a wee bit fed up with people kind of phoning up and just dissing this potential guy before they've even looked in there. I mean, I seen the man with the tail came on across there on the TV a wee while ago there, and it says, "You guys done nothing in football," and it's like, with all due respect, mate, you know, do a wee bit of homework.
Listen, and that is the way it has to be. I've got no idea whatsoever if Wilfred Nancy will be good, bad or indifferent to Celtic. But you're not getting anyone currently employed in the big five leagues in Europe, right? Obviously, you're possibly not even getting anyone who's just become unemployed from the big five leagues in Europe. And I think you alluded to it earlier, there has to be a bit of research here. And I know people scoff at stats, I get it, but otherwise, what are you doing? Are you just going to the team at top of every league and saying, "All right, we'll try him"? It's the whole point. It's just a different way of the way you recruit players. Are Celtic going to Google the Bayern Munich squad when they want to sign a player? No, they have to go, "Oh, look at that Matt O'Reilly in League One in England. Look at his numbers. I know he's an MK Dons player, but those numbers suggest he could do a job for us." It doesn't always need to be that way, because Brendan Rodgers was more of a...
Think he was a top tier man?
That's what I'm saying.
So they can attract, but the difference, Brendan Rodgers was out of a job.
I also feel like it feels like a bit of a one-off.
Okay.
Well, as an example then, and I know I'm putting you in the spot, who else of Brendan Rodgers' calibre do you think, and sort of CV and standing, do you think Celtic could get right now?
I really don't know. I can't answer the question.
You know, it would need to be, it feels like it needs to be someone who's operated at a lesser level, but is doing something interesting, is doing something exciting, is doing something that they feel could translate. Yeah?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's more of a manager that's trying to step up to Celtic's level, rather than, like you said, Brendan Rodgers was probably, in terms of what he's achieved, whether it's a sideways or a step down, some people might say, in terms of being at Liverpool and, you know, winning the FA Cup, whatever it was, at Leicester as well. So I agree. I think Brendan Rodgers was a one-off. I think, you know, the love he had for Celtic Football Club as well, and the passion he had to come in and manage the football club. But I agree with what John's saying. You know, a lot of the time we dismiss people as not being good enough without knowing enough about them. Like I said, Celtic would have definitely done their homework, and there's some transferable skills that he's demonstrated in the MLS that can come to Celtic Football Club and work. You know, a lot of people have spoke about the 3-4-3. That's one thing that I'm thinking, will that work for Celtic coming with the players that they do have? But listen, I think managers now are a lot more adaptable than they were maybe a few years ago. You know, people talking about philosophies and all these sorts of things. It's about winning games of football. And he'll look at the squad and sees what's best fit for that squad, and he'll come in. And I think he's still a play of a high press, still play, you know, a lot of short passes and forward passes and all these things, high energy. It just might, the shape might just be slightly different. But as I said, I'm interested to see how he does, because the last manager, Ange, who came across and people didn't know too much about, didn't work out too badly for Celtic. And hopefully for their supporters' point of view, you know, this one's just as good.
At what point in this busy schedule do you expect this appointment to be made, John?
I think it'll be made as soon as they possibly can, to be honest with you. But it's quite a big thing to bring
by the weekend
to a different continent. It depends how far on they are. I mean, I seen it in the news, was it yesterday, the advanced talks now, so I doubt this weekend. I think maybe the earliest, the 1st of December, maybe some sort of announcement. But as you said earlier on there, whether they announce it today or next week or the following week, it's still going to be days before their next game. And so, you know, for me, the quicker the guy gets in and settled, the better. And as Gordon says, alluded to as well, you know, it will give some of the guys a lift. You know, some of the guys that might be in the outskirts, to give them a wee lift to go, right, let me show you what I can do.
So, good point. Thank you very much to John and Rob Royston. He's done his research, which is all you can do when you're in this situation. Thank you very much to John on there. Let's quickly do some team news before the games kick off. Hibs against, or Motherwell against Hibs, is that's an interesting fixture tonight. I like the look of that for obvious reasons.
I think that'll be a terrific game. Two teams right in form. Two teams that play good football. Hibs, Bowie back scoring goals at the weekend. I think he should have had one or two more. Hibs look a real, real threat. But you know the way Motherwell play, especially at Fir Park. Good game, very tight game. But
it's,
I think they'll be
a very interesting Motherwell team, though. They've made five changes from the weekend and they're playing with no recognised striker tonight. Not due to fitness, just due to a choice by the manager. So he's very clear on what he does. He's always got an idea for something. So it looks like, in fact, and it looks like they've gone to a back three tonight as well. Motherwell, so totally changed with Paul McGinn, Stephen Welsh and Liam Gordon as a three. Johnny Katrumbis is going to play sort of out of position on the left. Tom Sparrow comes in on the right. Elliot Watt stays in midfield. Oscar Priestman in for a rare start. Who does that leave? Regan Charles-Cook, Elijah Just and Tawanda Maswanisi all sort of rotating around and doing what they want, I would imagine, Marvin, because Apostolos Stamatopoulos is not involved and Callum Hendry's on the bench, so there's a choice being made there to not play with a striker.
Yeah.
Callum Slattery drops to the bench. Lucas Fadinger, Manny Longello, Ibrahim Said. So that's a real change up from Motherwell.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they've changed the formation. But we did see Kilmarnock play against Hibs in the second half at Easter Road, and they played with that similar 3-4-3 kind of with the box midfield, and it caused Hibs all sorts of problems. So obviously it's something that, you know, Motherwell, the coach and staff have seen, and they've tried to adjust to that. Like you said, not playing with a recognised striker is something that I didn't expect to see. But no, it'd be very interesting to see what they do tactically, because he's tactically very, very astute. You know, he's a really good manager. He's got Motherwell playing good football, and I'm interested to see the two teams go out. Like I said, they're very different in terms of style of play. So it's interesting to see how they match up today.
Yeah, because Hibs have actually gone unchanged. So such a contrast. Salinger in goal, back three, Rocky Bashiri, Grant Hanley, Jack Iredale, by the looks of it. Chris Cadden returning to his former club on one side with his twin Nicky on the other. McGrath, Mulligan and Berlasser in midfield, and Boyle and Bowie up front. I mean, that's a strong Hibs team, isn't it?
Yeah, I like the front two. I really do. I think they complement each other very well indeed. I was a little bit critical of Bowie because I like to see my centre forward, especially the way Hibs play with the wide guys, with the delivery. He's got to be in the 18-yard box for me. He done that at the weekend, and he really should have got two or three goals. So, and plus the fact, there's the added advantage there of he needs to play well to keep, you know, in Steve Clarke's thoughts for a World Cup.
So we're a couple of minutes away from kickoff there. Got a big game in the championship as well. You two on the teaser quickly. We're looking for the last player from USA, Canada, Mexico to play for each Celtic and Rangers. You've got Johnston from Canada for Celtic, Juarez, Mexico, Celtic, Tillman, Rangers, USA.
I'm going to go Arfield for Canada.
Nope.
Carter Vickers.
No.
Oh.
Trusty's not American. Trusty. Yeah,
Trusty is absolutely American.
Is he?
Okay, we'll leave it there. We'll get the rest of the answers. And let me tell you about this as well.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas on Clyde One with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialists. Proud to support the local community.
Yes, that time of the year where we're trying to help families and children in our area that really, really need your help. They need it all year round, but of course it hits a bit harder at this time. Let's hear a bit from Sandra from Hemet Greiff Women's Aid, who provide temporary refuge accommodation to women, children, young people. She's telling us about the situations she's having to deal with at this time of year.
It's not on your list of things to do to be in a refuge at Christmas time. Children most definitely don't choose to be in a refuge at Christmas time. They find themselves in that situation like the rest of the world is celebrating. There's lights everywhere, there's cheer, there's laughter. Everybody's expected to be happy. All children deserve a bit of happiness.
I'm tugging on the heartstrings a bit here, but seriously, think about what that would be like at this time of year. So if you want to help out, please do Clyde1.com/mission. If you're planning to fundraise as well, please let us know what you're up to. We'd love to give you a mention. And as always, we guarantee every penny goes straight back to the people that need it. So head to Clyde1.com/mission. Help make a difference. This is all in aid of Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce, who've been big supporters over the last 6 years.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part. We've got time for more calls. If we're quick, we've got kickoff between Motherwell and Hibs, Partick Thistle, Dunfermline as well. So loads to look forward to this evening. I'll keep you up to speed if there are any updates early on in those games. What about this teaser? It's a cracker sent in by Noah in Paisley, who wants to nod to the World Cup and say, who are the last three players... How do I word this better than that? Who's the last player from each of the host nations to represent Celtic and or Rangers? So you've got USA, Austin Trusty, Canada, Alistair Johnston, Mexico, Efrain Juarez. So you're done Celtic. On Rangers, you've got USA, Malik Tillman. So we need a Canadian to play for Rangers and a Mexican to play for Rangers. Oh, I don't like the silence. Derek Cornelius. Absolutely.
Off the injured evidence.
Okay, we'll leave it there. You've only got one more to get. No early goals to tell you about in our matches. Let's bring in Andy on the line. Hi, Andy.
How you doing, guys? All right?
Good, Andy. What are you thinking?
Yeah. Just a quick one. I'm glad they toured away for the tour away for Rangers. That's one of my points. But the thing is, like, we've won 4 in a row. That's brilliant. But, sorry, Marvin, you were unlucky. But our performance was absolutely shocking. If you look at the paper the next day, Jack Butland got our star ratings. I mean, I cannot believe that. I mean, I don't know if some of these players know that they're away coming January, or they just need to show a lot. We need to show a lot more grit and fight. Because the performance, I'm sorry, Marvin, you did get beat. You should have had a penalty, but.
But I mean, Andy, I suppose though, before Danny Rule came in, you don't need me to tell you the performances were bad and the results were actually not even there. So is this not just the kind of natural next step? Win games first and then, you know, look to add the performances.
I totally agree, but I just think some of these players that right now they're not playing for the club. I don't know if they've been told. You look at Ant-Man, you look at what's the other one, Asgard, you go, what's going on with these boys? You should be playing a lot better.
Yeah, Gordon, there's no doubt, there's no point. Nobody would pretend the performances have been excellent. It just depends how long you can do that. Can you keep winning at this performance level? If so, great, because that's what it's all about, really. And then can you add, or does this performance level need to start going up a little bit soon to guarantee that you win these games come around?
I think the performance levels have got to go up, Gordon. I said that when I seen Rangers team at the weekend live in the show, I said that Livingston were a certainty to score. I do not fancy their defence whatsoever. I don't like the pairings of the two centre-backs. I think that, and it showed at the weekend, one long ball, just right over the top, and all of a sudden Livingston's in, scored, and should have probably, you know, they had a 1-1 with Butland as well. They had a penalty kick, a Stone Waller turned down. But
I take it that's something you guys, sorry to interrupt, identified that ball over the top, because it was something that teams were doing against Rangers earlier in the season. They went to a back three, but they've come back to the back four. They've obviously got personnel issues as well.
Yeah, we knew with Suter and Cornelius being out that you know, whether it was a back three or those two, Jigger and Fernandes would be two centre halves. And like you said there, they didn't really have a relationship. So, yeah, trying to put balls down the side and over the top and making them defend, because if you don't have that communication or, you know, that kind of relationship together, it's hard to do.
But what I'll say, Gordon, just to finish, I liked when Danny Rowe came in and the first thing he said was, it's about winning football matches.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's right. And he's achieving that. And if he can get to the January window still winning football matches, keeping himself in there, then there's a big sort of a turnaround for Rangers, because they need players out. And for me, they need players certainly in the building.
Well, we've solved the mystery. Andrew sent me a message to say it was Marvin who kicked the ball on the pitch, because I saw him with my own eyes.
Wow, there's stitches everywhere. If it's not Roger,
there's 50,000 people in the stadium.
Nah, he can't even see that far. He doesn't know if it's me or Davey.
Andrew Aye. Sits behind.
They knew it was him because it didn't find a man.
Then he found Danny Rowe.
Anyway, did you have much interaction with the new Rangers head coach?
No, he looked at me a bit funny when the ball went on the pitch and just
obviously
just shook hands.
And what did you say back?
Can't say it on the
Sorry.
Show.
Sorry.
Accident.
Did you question him as to what he was looking at?
Yeah. I don't like when people look at you.
No, get it right. You kicked the ball on the pitch.
He didn't know who kicked the ball. It came from our dugout. I don't even know who kicked the ball. You guys are just blaming me because I'm on the show. But it is what it is.
Right, anyway, let's not get him in any more trouble than he's probably already in. Let's finish off this teaser as well before we go. We're looking for... in fact, let me just update you on the games that are going on. Motherwell 0, Hibs 0. Motherwell, as always, lots of possession and lots of... nice rotations and stuff, but it hasn't managed to translate into anything yet. Hibs not quite getting to grips with it, and it's still Thistle 0, Dunfermline 0. Right, on the teaser, it's a nod to the World Cup. Who's the last player from each host nation to play for each Old Firm side? So USA, Trusty at Celtic, Tillman at Rangers, Canada, Johnston at Celtic, Cornelius at Rangers, Mexico, Juarez at Celtic, and you've not got the Rangers one yet.
Is he a midfield centre forward?
A midfield centre forward.
He's Mexican.
Yeah,
that help you.
With a sombrero on.
He plays forward, didn't he?
No, he's a striker. He was a complete number nine.
All right. Okay.
Not a very effective one at Rangers, but
what year? 2017.
Would be the kind of Cashinha era.
Yeah.
So.
I know who it is, but I can't remember his name.
So there was Carlos Peña, but it's not him.
Ah, that's where I was going with.
He's a midfielder.
That's the one. That's where I was going with. He's a position. Striker.
Yes.
Mexican striker.
Correct.
Give us a clue for national.
E.H.
Herrera.
Eduardo Herrera.
No,
I'll carry you, wee man.
It's be some carrying job, anyway. Thank you very much to Gordon and Marvin. We're back at 6 tomorrow. Have a good night.